Blog Talk Radio.
Like I have for years. I'm in the living room, banging on an old upright, where my world began, discovering the music that the child I was, before I became the man that I am.
Hi, and welcome to WAMS Radio. It's Allen Media Strategies Radio, live from our studios in Washington, D.C., on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, and joining us today, civility expert for the new millennium, if you will, Susanna Theo. Susanna has quite a resume. She's the founder of the Protocol and Etiquette Services Company and has been at it for over a decade now, has trained and certified all sorts of folks in protocol and etiquette, and received her own training from the Protocol School of Washington here in the nation's capital, a very famous place. And we're happy to welcome Susanna Theo to WAMS Radio. Hi, Susanna.
Hello.
Thanks for being on the show today. And we're going to pepper you over the next 30 minutes or so for some real usable information that our listeners can put into service immediately.
Absolutely.
Now, Susanna, you speak on the subject of civility quite a bit, and you do a lot of one-on-one training, but tell me, what is the difference in civility today in the 21st century as opposed to, you know, some time back? This is not, I take it from talking with you, a Miss Manners type thing.
Right. What has happened is just our world. I mean, we've definitely just gone forward with all the new technologies, and everything is changing at such a lightning speed rate. And the rules are the same, but how we apply them, you know, might be just a little bit different than we used to, and you know, maybe just like even 20 years ago.
And speaking of that new technology, if you'd like to join our worldwide internet radio broadcast today and you're listening to the show live, the phone number to call is 718-506-1944. That's 718-506-1944. A free call in the New York City metropolitan area. And you can also join the conversation in our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/WAMS, and you can very quietly send a question or a comment in for Susanna, and we'll deal with it on the program. So let's get into it, Susanna. Let's start off with something that we run into a lot here in Washington, and you hear about it all over the country. Folks talk about what's happening inside the Beltway. Well, for those of us who live in the area, what's happening on the Beltway is road rage and serious traffic delays, and let's talk about how you deal with that sort of thing in a civil way.
All right. So let's see. One thing that we all have to be very aware of is that we really need to utilize the Bluetooth. And that's something that in my particular region of the country, I do not see very often. And, of course, are we all familiar what a Bluetooth is at this day and time?
That's the wireless headset, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, let's really clarify what that is, and we really need to do that. We need to have that headset on, and we need to use it appropriately. And that way, both our hands are on the steering wheel, and we will not be drifting into other people's lanes and things like that. That's what's definitely happening out there daily and creating quite a bit of confusion. So I see tons and tons of that.
You know
what
else do you
see? Yes. What else do you see?
I see, and I'll sound horribly sexist here, but I see women applying their makeup while they're driving.
Yeah, absolutely not, women. Absolutely not. That's what those ladies are for. and that's actually, it really falls into rules of etiquette, believe it or not, because I know that one of the things that comes up all the time when I do a dining skills training, and that's where we actually are doing fork and knife school, but we're taking it a step further than that, and we're showing one how to utilize dining skills as a leadership skill. But I would say this would be within the top five questions throughout all the years of my work is applying lipstick at the table. And that's an absolute no-no. So if we're not going to be applying it at the table, we must not be applying it in the vehicle either for, you know, just basic safety reasons. But doing it in a dining skills scenario or a dining scenario, you absolutely have to be doing that in the ladies' room. Lipstick at the table is a big not. Big
all
not.
Right. All right, I'll have to remember mm-hmm. that the next time
right.
I urge to freshen up my cherry red lips at the dining table or in the car. I'll put it down. But let's say that someone that you interact with, because we can't police everyone else, let's say
right.
that you're in traffic, Susanna, and you know, a lady's applying her makeup or someone is eating a cheeseburger or
right.
Not paying attention, and they drift into your lane. And this urge, you know, overcomes you to flip them the finger, to cut them back off in traffic. What's the right way to handle those kinds of situations?
Well, for one thing, please alert the person that they're drifting into your lane. Definitely utilize that horn. I'd like to see that. And in fact, it just lately happened to me, and I was just astonished how this person was drifting into my lane, and it just kind of startles you, especially if you're not expecting it. And, yes, you absolutely have to use the horn. You don't need to do anything other than that. Just make sure that you are safe and that they are getting back into their lane. And that's, you know, really what we really need to focus on. We can't put our anger there at all. It has to be totally 100% safety.
Can you overuse the horn? You know, sometimes it seems like, again, in major metropolitan areas,
right.
You know, it's laying on the horn at all times when maybe it's not necessary. Can you overuse the horn in terms of civility?
Yes, I believe that you can. I'm most certain you can.
Okay.
So
right.
we're just trying to use it as an alert system. You're just trying to alert someone and that they need to maybe recheck what it is they're doing. And that's actually courtesy. That, again, that falls right into rules of etiquette. We're reapplying them for today. And, you know, it is a courtesy. We want people to be safe out there on the roadways.
I have a message here from someone who wants to know in our office about Internet etiquette. Internet etiquette.
Yes, let's talk some Internet etiquette. Absolutely. We need to remember that all emails must be kept in a business letter format. And I have to really stress that because especially if you're in a work environment and you are having, let's say, not just internet access but intranet, you know, the inter-office system.
Right, sure.
People need to be very aware that their messages can be seen and used at times in certain environments. And we need to be as professional as possible. And, you know, it's one thing when you're talking to your buddies and you can, you know, dash off a line or two or, you know, keep that little conversation going over a week or something, but that's your personal email. But anything that is not personal needs to be, you know, dear so-and-so, the body of the letter, and then a closing, you know, kind regards. And that's very, very essential for success in today's business arena.
Susanna, what if, and I'm sure that many of our listeners have run into this situation, what if you receive an email that has objectionable content? Maybe someone sends you, you know, some photographs or, you know, a dirty joke or whatever the case may be that you don't really want to see. Should you simply delete it or should you call their attention to it and tell them not to send you that stuff again?
What you can do is, of course, you are at liberty to delete anything like that. And the next thing you need to do is definitely just send them a nice, kind little note, you know, just very nicely. Say, you know, I appreciate you thinking about me, but if you wouldn't mind, it's something that, you know, I really just don't have time to read, you know, and just try to be gentle about it on the first go. And just a few little lines. You know, you're not trying to be mean with anyone, and perhaps it was a mistake. You never know if somebody sent you something and they didn't really mean to. That happens, I think, probably more often than we realize. And, you know, then, of course, if it becomes a problem, you will have to confront that person and say, please do not send me those types of emails. It's nothing I'm interested in.
We're talking with Susanna Theo about civility and protocol and etiquette now in the 21st century, and I'm sure Miss Manners never dove into internet etiquette back in the day. If you'd like to talk to Susanna and get your questions answered, the number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944, or send us an instant message. Our chat room is open here at WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Susanna's website, by the way, is protocoletiquette.com. We're talking about internet etiquette now, and if you have kids at home, you know that most of them are much more computer and tech savvy than those of us who have a few more gray hairs on our head. So let's talk, Susanna, about kids and how they seem to instinctively want to communicate online and with instant messaging and texting as opposed to having these real conversations.
Right, and that's actually where what we really need to be very aware of is that the children are just, this is what they're about in this day and time, and they actually have lost their conversation skills abilities a bit, and that's something that I, you know, work on very, very vigilantly with all the children and the young adults, because they have to be not only tech savvy for their generation, but they also are going to need to learn how to speak to one another. But as far as the internet piece for the young people, they are just flying all over the internet. And as parents of children, we need to be very aware of where these children are going. It is huge, actually. You really have to give them some just really, really clear guidelines. And then, of course, there are parental controls that a parent must really delve into and learn how to use, so that the children are not going anywhere that is harmful to them. And, you know, after all of those things are done, you might consider giving them a time limit online just so that they can do other things beside be online and text message and talk to each other. I mean, that's a wonderful way to communicate. That has to be probably one of the best communication methods that has been introduced to our life in this day and time. But there should be some limitations so that the children and the young people can learn how to communicate verbally.
I have a gentleman that I do business with, Susanna, who has teenagers at home, and he is a computer programmer. So he has the computers that his kids use set to automatically shut down at 9:15 each evening before bedtime. And, of course, they get some pushback from the kids who say, well, you know, hey, I'm right in the middle of downloading this great song on iTunes. Can you keep it on just a little while longer? But what are your thoughts on really controlling it that way? And maybe even these parental controls you talked about, is that an invasion of your kids' privacy?
No, it's not an invasion of their privacy. And I think it's wonderful that he has the ability to do that, because I know of, and I hear this every day from parents. In fact, I've had such a run on young teens, training the teenagers this last 4 or 5 months has been a huge, huge thing. And parents are concerned. But I don't think it's an invasion of their privacy, because it's not like you're reading all their emails or anything like that. You're just giving them some limitations. And there's nothing wrong with giving them some kind limitations. And I think it's wonderful. I wish he would publish it and let all the parents know how we can do such a thing. I think it would be absolutely wonderful. And as far as the parental controls, no, because you know what you want to teach your children. It's up to you as parents. You know, you have the final vote on where these children can and cannot go.
Susanna Theo is our guest today on WAMS Radio with Allen Media Strategies on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to talk with Susanna about redefining civility, if you have a protocol or an etiquette question, the number is 718-506-1944. And you can always join our conversation online, too, in the chat room here for Allen Media Strategies and WAMS at blogtalkradio.com. And of course, if you're listening to this interview after the fact in a podcast, you can always reach out to Susanna via her website, protocoletiquette.com. Now, you've been at this for over 10 years, and you actually studied at the very prestigious Protocol School of Washington, Susanna. And when folks think about this, we think about you know, white gloves and which fork to use and being very, very proper and very, very stuffy. But, you know, I know you, and that's not you at all.
No. really, I'll tell you, what's happened, one of the things I've noticed in the last 10 years of my work is when you say protocol and etiquette, it's true. What you just said is absolutely true. People believe that these are skills for just one sector of the population, and it's so untrue. It is absolutely untrue. We all need to be briefed on these skills. And why? Because it just makes everything in our daily lives go that much smoother. And writing thank you notes, that's a wonderful thing. We should never have allowed any of that to dissipate within our society.
Now, here's a question. Writing thank you notes, you brought it up. Better to do a handwritten thank you note, or is a quick email okay?
Handwritten thank you notes are always preferred. And I have to stress that, because a person, especially in this day and time with all the technology that we have at our fingertips, when you send that note and it's handwritten, they know how much whatever, you know, transpired, whether they took you out to a meal or whether it was for a gift or even just a kindness, they really are so aware of how much that meant to you. And thank you notes should also be used after interviews. If anyone is out there thinking of changing their professions or like going to another level, or the young people just going out for jobs or even college interviews, you should be writing thank you notes to, you know, the people who invited you or the people interviewing. And I know that some of my young people that are entering college at this time in their life, they were very surprised to hear that they should be writing thank you notes to the interviewer and those who helped them. And I have one student in particular that worked so well for her. And you know, she came to me for advice, and of course I gave her some, you know, my thoughts. And she wrote thank you notes for all of the individuals who helped her along the way. And of course, what has happened, but she has developed her own support network within her university.
Outstanding.
And that's what the purpose of utilizing these thank you notes are, is because people remember you. And then if you need some help with a certain issue, you know, you have a go-to person, they remember you, and they will be that much, you know, very, very happy to help. And you know, there's so much value to writing a thank you note. There really is.
It's just amazing how that is a lost art, and the only thing that most people ever get in the mail these days are bills and junk mail, and so something that's handwritten really does cut through, so that's great advice.
Yes.
From Susanna Theo, our civility expert for the 21st century, and let's talk about dating do's and don'ts in the 21st century. Things are a little different than when mom and dad went courting at the malt shop.
Yes.
Okay, so if a girl wants to call a guy, okay or not okay?
In this day and time, that's going to be okay, most definitely. And a lot of that, now this is where the most interesting part of when you work with protocols and etiquettes is that you have to look at everything so differently now than you did, let's say, maybe 30 or 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But in the business arena, and I have to say it like this, is that all is fair. You know, women and men are on equal footing in the U.S. business arena, and I really want to clarify I'm talking about the U.S. And what happens is that our social network, it basically parallels our business network very often, whether we believe it or not. Because you have to involve yourself socially sometimes in order to get certain pieces of business accomplished. And since there is an equal footing between men and women in the business arena, again, it spills over into the social side, and therefore it is totally okay for a woman to call a man in this day and time. But, of course, it would have been different 30 or 40 years ago. That would not have been socially acceptable.
Sure. And, Susanna, since you talked about businesses, what about inner office romance? Once completely taboo, and you know, there's some companies that I know years ago would actually write into their employment agreements that you're not
right.
allowed to date other people at work. Is that still not a good idea in most cases?
I will give you my thoughts is that I personally do not believe that that is a good idea, because that can get very sticky. However, and again, let's go into our modern day, is that this is where you're meeting most of the people you know, is through your work environment. And that's really why that is on the uptrend. That's why things like that are happening now. But as a general rule, I would still suggest that someone not pursue that, because you just don't know what happens, especially if it's like casual dating, or you just don't know how that really is going to play out in the end. And you really need your work environment to be work. I mean, you're going to work to work, and we have to really keep that in mind.
And, of course, if things go badly, that's when it gets really difficult, I guess.
Yes, it's going to get rather sticky at that point in time. And you, again, you really don't want to see that in your work environment. You need to keep some boundaries. There are definite boundaries that we should meet.
Office parties, Christmas parties, we understand things can get a little out of hand when you mix alcohol into a social setting with people that you generally don't socialize with. And let's say that something happens at an office Christmas party. How do you deal with it later? Maybe the boss's wife gives you more than a friendly peck on the cheek under the mistletoe. Well, what's the proper protocol to come back to the office and deal with an embarrassing incident that happened at an out-of-office function like that?
Well, let's start at the beginning. We're going to be having a lot of these questions come up now because of the time of year that is approaching.
Sure.
It's a huge time of year where people are planning their holiday gatherings and cocktail parties, that type of thing. The first thing to remember is that you must not exceed having one alcoholic beverage. And that is why, because you are not, again, now we're having this fine line between business and social go on. And you're doing business in a social setting at that point in time, but you're still doing business. It's still business related. And you really need to make sure that it is one drink or no drinks as far as alcoholic beverages. You can have the one drink to be social, but do not go beyond that. And that will avoid any embarrassing situations, because you're not there to embarrass yourself or embarrass the people you work with or the person that you work for. That is not the objective of the event. The objective is just, an acknowledgement. It's a holiday time where we're, just getting together, perhaps, a time for conversations. This is when your conversation skills are really needed. But going beyond having that one drink is an absolute not. And, and if you do get into an embarrassing scenario, you really may think very strongly about what has happened and how you can remedy the situation. It may be a series of different things, like maybe writing some of those little notes. And instead of a thank you note, it might be an apology note. And, we hope that won't happen.
All right.
So, the
advice is, even if it's an open bar at the company Christmas party, stop at one drink, huh?
Stop at one drink. That is the absolute, that's the limit.
Susanna Theo is our guest from ProtocolEtiquette.com. She is a civility expert, as she says, for the 21st century, and is well-schooled on all protocol and etiquette issues. If you'd like to ask her a question, the number on our show today is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944, or our chat room is open at blogtalkradio.com/WAMS. How to dress in the workplace. Here's something else that has shifted quite a bit in the last, 20 to 30 years with the advent of casual Fridays, and now it seems that there are casual Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays as well. Let's talk about how to dress and not to dress for success.
Absolutely. All right. Well, again, let's go back to what I just mentioned earlier. When you're at work, you're there to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a place that you should be dressing suggestively for the women. It's very difficult sometimes. And that is another issue that I am always presented with. I have had some people come to me with that as their deepest concern in their work arena, to the point, I've heard some very interesting things, as if, let's say, they are being criticized on their attire. And we really need to talk about that, because you are at work to work. You should always put the most professional clothing on that you can. And, of course, different work environments will require different types of clothing. Certain environments require you to wear some sort of uniform or maybe a color choice. I know one environment locally that their employees are required to dress wearing black, basically, because it's a product that they're trying to sell, and it complements their product line. And so that is their attire. And of course, they have gone as far as stating that they cannot wear certain pieces of clothing because it would be suggestive. Yes, you have to wear black, but you can't wear a shirt that's too low cut. You can't wear a skirt that's too high.
Sure, sure.
So those are very, very important issues, especially when you are out there and that is your focus, is to sell this one particular product.
If everyone else around you, Susanna, dresses in the workplace casually, if it's a jeans and T-shirts kind of place, but you're really trying to get ahead and impress your superiors, good idea or bad idea to dress for the job you want rather than the job you have?
I would say that you really need to analyze that, meaning that you are still part of a team and you have to really acknowledge that. You know, if you start dressing out of that team environment, that's going to take you out of the team environment, and that may be counterproductive to moving ahead. So that's going to be on a case-by-case basis as far as whether you should do that or not.
Got it. So it's really all about that, the individual
Yes.
Culture. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about difficult coworkers? Here's something that most of us have run into at one time or another. You work with somebody who's just difficult in one way or another. You know, maybe they're grumpy. Maybe they never have a kind word. Maybe, you know, their telephone skills are poor. If you have a difficult coworker situation, from a protocol and etiquette standpoint, what do you recommend that you do?
Well, first, you really need to try to work it out. You know, it's like kill them with kindness. You know, we always have to try to be really kind, even when we don't want to be. And if that fails, then you're going to have to go to the next step, which would be the supervisory step, where you need to take your supervisor aside and say, look, I'm having an issue here. How can we make it better? You know, I'm willing to do whatever you would think that would make this better. And you always have to take the most positive way to deal with something like this and do it very quietly, because you don't really need everybody in your office, in your face kind of thing. That's not the objective. The objective is to work through the problem.
So your suggestion then is not to be confrontational with the other person and say,
right,
you know, hey, we got a problem. We need to work on this. It's really the old kill them with kindness thing.
Right, that is always preferred, and I know that sometimes people can be, you know, rather difficult, but that's when you really need the assistance of someone that is, you know, above, and that's how you would approach it as well. You would just go and say, I really need your help with this situation. I love working here. I love my job, but I have this, you know, situation, and I really need to know how I can best handle it, and basically you're, you know, giving it to the supervisor, and at that point there should be protocols within that organization on how to handle such a thing.
Susanna, I have to ask you, as we run out of time here, is there ever a time when you get steamed and you've just had enough and you can't follow your own protocol advice?
Actually, I don't get very upset very often. I really don't. And if somebody makes me upset, it's kind of interesting, but I don't know. I actually don't really let them know it. I just sort of just think about the scenario, decide what I can do that would be proactive and positive, and that's the only thing I typically do. I really sit and think about things before acting on them, and I know that sometimes most individuals, it's a very difficult task. It's a very difficult thing to do. People just react, but I think, and then I react, so. But I'm always thinking on how to work through the situation. Like chewing over problems is really what I would term it.
Fair enough. Great advice today from Susanna Theo, your protocol and etiquette expert. You've probably seen her articles appear in magazines and newspapers all over the country. And Susanna, if folks want to get in touch with you and they need either individual or business help, what's the best way for them to find you?
The very best way to find me is through the web at protocoletiquette.com. And there is a feedback form. Please, by all means, I would love to answer questions and just connect with anyone that has anything going on that they would like some advice with.
Protocoletiquette.com is the website address. Susanna Theo from Protocol and Etiquette Services in Hampton Roads, Virginia. Thank you so much for being a guest on our program today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to be a guest on a future segment, please reach out to us at AllenMediaStrategies.com. That's AllenMediaStrategies.com for our live program. It's WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.